This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise due to Allah and His blessings and peace and praise be upon our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and his family and his companions and his followers until the Day of Judgment. My dear brothers and sisters, welcome to a new episode of The Magnificent Seven. Those seven heroes, those seven special people we are talking about in this series, the one the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith which is reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and Muslim and was narrated by several companions. One of them, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu arda, that he said that the Messenger of Allah said, seven are whom Allah will put them in His shade in the Day of Judgment, in the shade of His throne in the Day of Judgment. And they are a just ruler, a youth who grew up with the worship of Allah, a person whose heart attached to the masjids, and two persons who love and meet each other and depart from each other for the sake of Allah. A man whom an extremely beautiful woman seduces him. He rejects her offer by saying, I fear Allah. A person who gives in charity and conceals it to the extent that his left hand will not know what his right hand is giving. And finally, a person who remembers Allah alone in solitude and his eyes well up. Those seven people are so special, are very unique people because they were able to defeat their desire, control themselves. They have very strong self-control and they were able also to implement the worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a very difficult time and rejecting the call of their own desires and the shaitan when it calls them to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're talking about the man who's an extremely beautiful woman seduced him and he rejects her offers by saying, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You remember last time we said this hadith not only applying to men, but could apply to women as well. As a matter of fact, it's very common that women will be seduced by men more than men who are seduced by women. But the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the man because if a woman seduces a man, he might the only reason really can prevent this man from accepting that offer that he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because sometimes women will reject the offers of some men because some other reasons, such as she's afraid that somebody will find out about that, she get pregnant, she lose her virginity, or usually men try to seduce women in public. But if you look to the other way around, when a woman tried to seduce him, he will prevent himself from accepting such offer because he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, not for any other reason. Because usually this happens in secret and men will not be worry about the consequences of their actions later on, most of the cases. But as I told you earlier, also there is so many pure women in this world, and in the history we heard about so many stories about great women who've been seduced by some men, but they reject that offered because they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, not anybody else. Before I give you some examples, I just remember an example of a great man in Mecca. He was called in that time the priest of Mecca, Al-Qis, because he was a great worshipper and he disattached himself from the dunya and committed himself only to the Masjid al-Haram and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most of the time. That man, for some reason, there is a woman loved him so much. And one day she approached him and she tried to seduce him. And she told him, I want to have you and I want to have a relationship with you. And he told her, I can't accept that offer because it is haram for me to have a relationship with you and you're not my wife. Then she told him, just don't think about it this way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later on will forgive us. Let's just do it, and after that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. You are such a righteous person, and after that I will repent and nothing will be, there is no problem. Like today, so many people might say, okay, later on we are going to get married. He will date a girl, or a girl will date a boy. Then later on they said, we're going to marry and everything will be fine in future. It's the same logic, the same mentality. But listen to what that man said to the woman. He told her, and who can guarantee for me that I will stay alive until I repent? Who can guarantee for me that I will not die while I'm doing this evil deed with you, while I'm disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while I'm committing the sins? We remember the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, when his brother said, kill him, threw him in the well, and later on you will be a righteous people. ثُمَّ تَكُونُ مِن بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. Later on you will be good. Don't worry. In future we repent. We're going to change. But this is not the right way to deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because no one knows when he's going to die. When he said that to her, she realized that she was mistaken. And she repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that moment, and her whole entire life change. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam told us the story of three people who entered a cave, and because of earthquake a big huge rock fell and blocked the exit of that cave. The three people inside the cave, they found themselves stuck inside, they cannot exit and they don't have food, they don't have drink. So what they did, they start supplicating to Allah, calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to release them from this problem. And each one of them start asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with one of the greatest deed ever he did. One of them said, oh Allah, once I had a cousin of mine. She's a girl, she's poor, and she needed money one day. She came to me, and she approached me and she told me, I need money. And I tried several times before to seduce her, to have a sexual relationship with her out of marriage. And she always rejected that and refused to accept my offer. When she came to me asking for money, I told her, I will not give you the money that you need until you let me sleep with you. She finally accepted that. But her heart is still rejecting the idea, cannot take this idea, but she needs the money badly. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the man said, oh Allah, when I was so close to her, she told me, ittaqillah, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and don't do that. If you want to do it, marry me, so we'll make it halal. When she said that, immediately I back off. And I told her, go. You're free to go and take the money you want. He said, I did that only for the sake of Allah. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given them or moved the rock a little bit so they can exit after the other two also supplicate to Allah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by their good deeds until they were able to exit from that cave. My point here, look at this pure woman. Look at this great woman. She's a such hero that she reject the offer. Even she know that she need the money and she in great need of the money, but she said, please don't do that in the haram way. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us opportunity to fulfill that desire in the right way, why not? Another story in Al-Basra. And this story told to us by Abu Muhammad al-Shaybani. He said there were a rich man in Basra and he has a lot of farmer work for him in his land. He's like a landlord and he had a lot of farmer work for him. One of them has a beautiful woman. One day he told that farmer, send your wife with... He gave him something and told him, let your wife take this to the palace or to my home or to my villa, my palace. And the farmer asked his wife to go. The poor girl walked into the palace, but she noticed that the palace is empty. When she entered all the way inside the palace, the owner of the land came to her and approached her and tried to touch her. She said, what are you doing? He said, I want you, I love you, and I want to have what any man wants from a woman. And she said, aren't you afraid? He said, don't worry, I locked all the doors. She said, are you sure? She said, yes, I locked the gate, the front gate, the doors, all the doors are locked. Then she told him, what about the door between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is that door locked also? The doors and the gates of the heavens, are they locked and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't see us? Immediately the man realized that he was mistaken. Because of this woman, and with her words, shaked his heart, brought back to his mind, his senses, and he realized that he's mistaken, and he let her go. Also, Kharijah ibn Ziyad said, I loved a woman in Kufa. I loved her so much. He said, whenever she would leave her house, going to the masjid, I will follow her. One day she notes that I'm always following her. She told me, what do you want from me? He told her, I want your love. I want to have a relationship with you. Like what we say these days, I want to be your like boyfriend. Then she told him, if you really want my love, if you really want me, if you really want to be with me, wait until the day of judgment when we both enter Jannah. Then we can be together in Jannah. These words were enough to change the life of this person. This pure woman, this hero, this pure woman was able to change the life of that person by her words. Also in Al-Basra, another incident that a man, he knows a girl in Basra and he loved her so much. And he tried everything possible to put his hand on her, but he couldn't. She was so protected by her family. To the extent he purchased 300 camels and he said, every single person in this city, I will take him to Hajj. He took them all to Hajj in the caravan and in the night he sneaked in the night and she was with the group. And he came to her in her tent and he said, I want to stay or spend the night with you. Then she told him, what? He said, don't worry, everybody is sleeping. She told him, what about Allah? Is he asleep as well? In other words, were enough to change somebody's life because she is a pure woman. She protected her chastity. She said no when somebody tried to seduce her. Now we'll take a break and we'll come back, inshallah, soon. Righteous companions, it is Islam that given us the sense of dignity. I love all of them in a way that you cannot imagine.
that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu would say something and the Quran would come down matching what he said.
والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه.
Just compare what you did for Islam with just one of them.
Welcome back to continue our discussion about those great men and women who refused the offers of someone who tried to seduce them, tried to offer them to do what is not permissible, to do the indecent acts, and they said, no, we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who had control over their desires, over their lust, and they only protect themselves, and they protect themselves from involving in any indecent actions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as reported by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala in his Musnad, la yanbaghi lil muslim an yudhilla nafsa. The Muslim should not put himself in a position where he will be humiliated, where he cannot protect himself from such humiliation and keep his dignity. Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, when you put yourself in a position that you cannot handle that position, or in that time you will be humiliating yourself. Al-Imam Al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, give an example for that. He said, I haven't seen any better example can fit this hadith like the love which is take over the heart of a person towards another creation or another human being. When you love somebody, and this love, what Ibn al-Qayyim referring to the love which had happened between man and woman, or woman and man, which is love mixed with lust. Love mixed with lust. This type of love, when it takes over the heart, it can humiliate the person. And this is absolutely true. When you read about the stories of those who love someone so much and he were not able to have that person, yani they never get married, or for some reason they separated from each other. When you hear about their stories, you feel so sorry for them. When you know about the brothers and sisters who sometimes complain about that they love someone so much and they can't marry them or they cannot have them for any reason, you feel so sorry for them sometimes, because really that love had a control, took over their hearts, took over their mind, and sometimes humiliate the person. Sometimes even humiliate the person. It's the different, subhanAllah, from loving something for the sake of Allah. Loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love which is happening because of religious reason, it all brings dignity to the person. But the love which it happened because of a human reason, because of a lust, it always lead to, or it might lead the person to be suffering from this love. As Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, anybody love anything in this dunya, he will suffer for that love. Because you will struggle until you get it. And if you get it, you will be always worried about keeping it, not losing it. And if you lose it, you start feeling sorry about losing it. This is the nature of this, of the love, or the love for this dunya, or the worldly love. Anyway, what I'm trying to mention here, or to emphasize, that the love which it happened between usually men and women, and that love which mixed with the lust, and also that love which is in a not in halal way. The love between the husband and wife is something great. It's something great. The love between two people who is going to marry each other, and they engage, and there's they made the contract to something good. That's the natural thing. But when I talk about love between between two people who are not related to each other, who are not going to be married or not married at least, and some of them even not planning to get married, like the love between boyfriend and girlfriend and dating and things from this nature, this is something not acceptable in Islam. And that what lead to these great sins that I talked about in previous series, like the fornication, نسأل الله السلامة والعافية. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala order us not only not to fornicate, not to come closer to fornication. Yani anything will lead to this indecent act, it's forbidden as well. Anything. That's why in Islam, there are so many rules to protect your chastity, to keep you pure from being slave to your desires, from being a follower only to your lust, the only thing you care about to fulfill your desires and to fulfill your lust in this dunya. Such as, what in Islam will help you to stay pure and protect your chastity, and you became he or she a person who not involved in any indecent act? How can we protect ourselves in a such time and society where is desires around us, surrounding us, where is fitan all over the place, open the, when you turn on the TV, when you walk into the street, when you go to college, when you go to the mall, when you chat in the internet, or when you log on in the internet, there is so many callers, there is so many people inviting you to do what is not allowed, or try to break that purity that the Muslim male and female used to have, or they should have. One, al-Islam emphasize a lot, or talk about the dangers of the zina, the fornication, the adultery, and told us how an evil deed it is, and what is the punishment for such people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, and whoever will be among those people, his punishment will be severe in the day of judgment, in hellfire, and also in this dunya, there is certain punishment for those who are considered fornicators or committing adultery. Also, told us that those people will be punished in this dunya by diseases. And reading about all these different kind of sexual transmitted diseases, it's enough to know how an evil deed is this thing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that mu'min will not marry a fornicator woman, and a female believer will not marry a fornicator man or fornicator male. Fornication is an evil deed. It's an evil deed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he connect fornication to shirk. Connect fornication to shirk. Also, homosexuality, it's forbidden in Islam. And there is a punishment for those who practice it in Islam as well. So, all these kind of indecent act that we hear about today, al-Islam talk about it and shows us it's forbidden, it's not allowed to do it, and there is certain punishment for such people. Al-Islam also, on the other hand, told women to put hijab on, to help them to stay pure, and to keep the community on the society pure. That's why hijab is wajib on women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنْ. They should not show their beauty in public, or to anyone except their mahrams, their husbands, their fathers, their sons, their uncles, and so on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. Don't go outside in the public and showing your beauties the way the people used to do in the jahiliyyah, in the ignorant days before Islam. Hijab, my brothers and sisters, not meant to bring more attraction to you. Hijab not meant to make you more attractive in men's eyes. Hijab should cover your body, should not be tight, should not be something people can see through. should cannot be like has so many colors and things added to it that bring a lot of attention to you while you're walking, and it should not be in the same way, or it should not be similar to the men clothes or to the non-believers clothes. And I mean by that, it should not be like in a way the form of the nun, for example, in the church. You cannot wear that as a hijab. But if there is a common clothes between Muslim and non-Muslim, that's called a common clothes that you can wear. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wear clothes which is made in Rome, made by the Romans. Burdatun Rumiyya. Also Al-Islam order Muslim not to mix between the different opposite sex. Yani segregation between men and women is something Al-Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained it for us, because this mixing lead to relationship which it might lead to involve in something not halal. That's why in prayer we don't mix while we line up in the prayer. We walk in the street, the Prophet ﷺ said, women walk on the side and men walk in the middle. Al-Islam also told us it's not allowed for a man and woman not related to each other to be alone in one place or one room, because this is might lead to what is not right and what is not proper for the Muslim to be involved in from this kind of forbidden act. Sufyan al-Thawri said, don't be with a woman alone in a room even if you are going to teach her Quran. لا تخلون بامرأة ولو كنت تعلمها القرآن. So what about those who stay alone, a man and woman, to study together, or going to have fun together, or to play, or to do whatever things from people might be doing in these days. Also, Sharia have decided that there's something called awra. There is part of your body need to be covered. And this awra is something unique, and it's something known in all religions. And in Islam, has a great deal about that, emphasizing where's the awra of the men. The man has awra as well, that he cannot uncover his private part in public or his thigh in public. He should cover that. Also in Salat, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, saw a man praying in public in the masjid, has nothing on his shoulder. He ordered him to put something on his shoulder. Also women, they have awra, they should not expose it. In front of women and in front of men, but it's different. So in front of other women, she's not allowed to show her thigh or her breast or a'udhu billah, her private parts, unless there is necessity for that, such as going to deliver a baby or going to the doctor. Also, Al-Islam told women not to put perfume in public. Why is that? Because this will attract a lot of attention to her and might cause for some men to try to seduce her or approach her and not in a proper way. Al-Islam also order us to lower our gaze. Not only men and women as well. Not allowed to keep... Oh, it's so windy today. Good. It's also Islam order us to lower our gaze. And that means that you don't keep looking to the woman or to her, to woman, and keep just staring at her. You should lower your gaze and move your face away, especially if something like this one, you know, come and uncover her legs or something like that. You should turn your face away out of respect. Also, Al-Islam said, when your children, your own children, reach an age of 10, you should separate them in bed and not let them sleep together. There is more rules, inshallah, we'll talk about it in the next episode. So until then, I will see you, inshallah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Bum, 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 bum disattached himself from the dunya and committed himself only to the Masjid al-Haram and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most of the time. That man, for some reason, there is a woman loved him so much. And one day she approached him and she tried to seduce him. And she told him, I want to have you and I want to have a relationship with you. And he told her, I can't accept that offer because it is haram for me to have a relationship with you and you're not my wife. Then she told him, just don't think about it this way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later on will forgive us. Let's just do it. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. You are such a righteous person. And after that, I will repent and nothing will be. There is no problem. Like today, so many people might say, okay, later on we are going to get married. He will date a girl or a girl will date a boy. Then later on they said, we're going to marry and everything will be fine in future. It's the same logic, the same mentality. But listen to what that man said to the woman. He told her, and who can guarantee for me that I will stay alive until I repent? Who can guarantee for me that I will not die while I'm doing this evil deed with you, while I'm disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while I'm committing the sins? We remember the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, when his brother said, kill him, threw him in the well, and later on you will be a righteous people. ثُمَّ تَكُونُ مِن بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. Later on you will be good. Don't worry. In future we repent. We're going to change. But this is not the right way to deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because no one knows when he's going to die. When he said that to her, she realized that she was mistaken. And she repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that moment, and her whole entire life changed. Innabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam told us a story of three people who entered a cave. And because of earthquake, a big huge rock fell and blocked the exit of that cave. The three people inside the cave, they found themselves stuck inside. They cannot exit and they don't have food, they don't have drink. So what they did, they start supplicating to Allah, calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to release them from this problem. And each one of them start asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with one of the greatest deed ever he did. One of them said, O Allah, once I had a cousin of mine. She's a girl, she's poor, and she needed money one day. She came to me and she approached me and she told me, I need money. And I tried several times before to seduce her, to have a sexual relationship with her out of marriage. And she always rejected that and refused to accept my offer. When she came to me asking for money, I told her, I will not give you the money that you need until you let me sleep with you. She finally accepted that. But her heart is still rejecting the idea. Cannot take this idea, but she needs the money badly. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the man said, O Allah, when I was so close to her, she told me, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't do that. If you want to do it, marry me. So we'll make it halal. When she said that, immediately I back off. And I told her, go. You're free to go and take the money you want. He said, I did that only for the sake of Allah. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given them or moved the rock a little bit so they can exit after the other two also supplicate to Allah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by their good deeds until they were able to exit from that cave. My point here, look at this pure woman. Look at this great woman. She's a such hero that she reject the offer. Even she know that she need the money and she in great need of the money, but she said, please don't do that in the haram way. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us opportunity to fulfill that desire in the right way, why not? Another story in al-Basra. And this story told to us by Abu Muhammad al-Shaybani. He said there were a rich man in Basra, and he has a lot of farmer work for him in his land. He's like a landlord, and he had a lot of farmer work for him. One of them has a beautiful woman. One day he told that farmer, send your wife with... He gave him something and told him, let your wife take this to the palace, or to my home, or to my villa, my palace. And the farmer asked his wife to go. The poor girl walked into the palace, but she noticed that the palace is empty. When she entered all the way inside the palace, the owner of the land came to her and approached her and tried to touch her. She said, what are you doing? He said, I want you, I love you, and I want to have what any man wants from a woman. And she said, aren't you afraid? He said, don't worry, I locked all the doors. She said, are you sure? She said, yes, I locked the gate, the front gate, the doors, all the doors are locked. Then she told him, what about the door between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is that door locked also? The doors and the gates of the heavens, are they locked and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't see us? Immediately the man realized that he was mistaken. Because of this woman, and with her words, shaked his heart, brought back to his mind, his senses, and he realized that he's mistaken, and he let her go. Also, Kharijah ibn Ziyad said, I loved a woman in Kufa. I loved her so much. He said, whenever she will leave her house, going to the masjid, I will follow her. One day she notes that I'm always following her. She told me, what do you want from me? He told her, I want your love. I want to have a relationship with you. Like what we say these days, I want to be your like boyfriend. Then she told him, if you really want my love, if you really want me, if you really want to be with me, wait until the day of judgment, when we both enter Jannah, then we can be together in Jannah. These words were enough to change the life of this person. This pure woman, this hero, this pure woman was able to change the life of that person by her words. Also in Al-Basra, another incident that a man, he knows a girl in Basra and he loved her so much. And he tried everything possible to put his hand on her, but he couldn't. She was so protected by her family. To the extent he purchased 300 camels, and he said, every single person in this city, I will take him to Hajj. He took them all to Hajj in the caravan, and in the night he sneaked in the night, and she was with the group. And he came to her in her tent, and he said, I want to stay or spend the night with you. Then she told him, what? He said, don't worry, everybody is sleeping. She told him, what about Allah? Is he sleeping as well? In other words, were enough to change somebody's life because she is a pure woman. She protected her chastity. She said no when somebody tried to seduce her. Now we'll take a break and we'll come back inshallah soon.
Why righteous companions? It is Islam that given us the sense of dignity. I love all of them in a way that you cannot imagine.
That Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu would say something and the Quran would come down matching what he said.
والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه.
Just compare what you did for Islam with just one of them.
Bum, dun, 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 dun.
Welcome back to continue our discussion about those great men and women who refused the offers of someone who tried to seduce them, tried to offer them to do what is not permissible, to do the indecent acts. And they said, no, we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who had control over their desires, over their lust, and they only protect themselves, and they protect themselves from involving in any indecent actions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as reported by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala in his Musnad, لا ينبغي للمسلم أن يذل نفسه. The Muslim should not put himself, should not humiliate himself, should not put himself in a position where he will be humiliated, where he cannot protect himself from such humiliation and keep his dignity. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, when you put yourself in a position, when you put yourself in a position that you cannot handle, that position, or in that time you will be humiliating yourself. And Imam Al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, give an example for that. He said, I haven't seen any better example can fit in this or fit this hadith like the love which is take over the heart of a person towards another creation or another human being. When you love somebody, and this love, what Ibn al-Qayyim referring to, the love which had happened between man and woman or woman and man, which is love mixed with lust, love mixed with lust. This type of love, when it takes over the heart, it can humiliate the person. And this is absolutely true. When you read about the stories of those who love someone so much and he were not able to have that person, yani they never get married, or for some reason they separated from each other. When you hear about their stories, you feel so sorry for them. When you know about the brothers and sisters who sometimes complain about that they love someone so much and they can't marry them or they cannot have them for any reason, you feel so sorry for them sometimes, because really that love had a control, it took over their hearts, took over their mind, and sometimes humiliate the person. Sometimes even humiliate the person. It's the different, subhanAllah, from loving something for the sake of Allah. Loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love which is happening because of religious reason, it all bring dignity to the person. But the love which it happened because of a human reason, because of a lust, it always lead to, or it might lead the person to be suffering from this love. As Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, anybody love anything in this dunya, he will suffer for that love. Because you will struggle until you get it. And if you get it, you will be always worried about keeping it, not losing it. And if you lose it, you start feeling sorry about losing it. This is the nature of this, of the love, or the love for this dunya, or the worldly love. Anyway, what I'm trying to mention here, or to emphasize, that the love which it happened between usually men and women, and that love which mixed with the lust, and also that love which is in a not in halal way. The love between the husband and wife is something great. It's something great. The love between two people who is going to marry each other and they engage and they made the contract is something good. That's the natural thing. But when I talk about love between two people who are not related to each other, who are not going to be married or not married at least, and some of them even not planning to get married, like the love between boyfriend and girlfriend and dating and things from this nature, this is something not acceptable in Islam. And that what lead to these great sins that I talked about in previous series, like the fornication, نسأل الله السلامة والعافية. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala order us not only not to fornicate, not to come closer to fornication. Yani anything will lead to this indecent act, it's forbidden as well. anything. That's why in Islam, there are so many rules to protect your chastity, to keep you pure from being slave to your desires, from being a follower only to your lust, the only thing you care about to fulfill your desires and to fulfill your lust in this dunya. Such as, what's in Islam will help you to stay pure and protect your chastity, and you became he or she a person who not involved in any indecent act. How can we protect ourselves in a such time and society where is desires around us, surrounding us, where is fitan all over the place, open the, when you turn on the TV, when you walk into the street, when you go to college, when you go to the mall, when you chat in the internet, or when you log on in the internet, there is so many callers, there is so many people inviting you to do what is not allowed, or try to break that purity that the Muslim male and female used to have, or they should have. One, al-Islam emphasized a lot, or talked about the dangers of the zina, the fornication, the adultery, and told us how an evil deeds it is, and what is the punishment for such people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, and whoever will be among those people, his punishment will be severe in the day of judgment, in hellfire, and also in this dunya, there is certain punishment for those who are considered fornicators or committing adultery. Also, told us that those people will be punished in this dunya by diseases. And reading about all these different kind of sexual transmitted diseases, it's enough to know how an evil deed is this thing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that mu'min will not marry a fornicator woman. And a female believer will not marry a fornicator man or fornicator male. Fornication is an evil deed. It's an evil deed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He connect fornication to shirk. Connect fornication to shirk. Also, homosexuality, it's forbidden in Islam. And there is a punishment for those who practice it in Islam as well. So, all these kind of indecent act that we hear about today, al-Islam talk about it and shows us it's forbidden, it's not allowed to do it, and there is certain punishment for such people. Al-Islam also, on the other hand, told women to put hijab on, to help them to stay pure, and to keep the community and the society pure. That's why hijab is wajib on women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنْ. They should not show their beauty in public or to anyone except their mahrams, their husbands, their fathers, their sons, their uncles, and so on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. Don't go outside in the public and showing your beauties the way the people used to do in the jahiliyyah, in the ignorant days before Islam. Hijab, my brothers and sisters, not meant to bring more attraction to you. Hijab not meant to make you more attractive in men's eyes. Hijab should cover your body, should not be tight, should not be something people can see through, cannot be like, has so many colors and things added to it that bring a lot of attention to you while you're walking, and it should not be in the same way, or it should not be similar to the men's clothes or to the non-believers clothes. And I mean by that, it should not be like in a way the form of the nun, for example, in the church. You cannot wear that as a hijab. But if there is a common clause between Muslim and non-Muslim, that's called a common clause that you can wear. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wear clothes which is made in Rome, made by the Romans, burdatun rumiya. Also, Islam order Muslim not to mix between the different opposite sex. Yani, segregation between men and women is something Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained it for us, because this mixing lead to relationship which it might lead to involve in something not halal. That's why in prayer, we don't mix while we line up in the prayer. We walk in the street, the Prophet ﷺ said, women walk on the side and men walk in the middle. Al-Islam also told us it's not allowed for a man and woman not related to each other to be alone in one place or one room, because this is might lead to what is not right and what is not proper for the Muslim to be involved with from this kind of forbidden act. Sufyan al-Thawri said, don't be with a woman alone in a room even if you are going to teach her Quran. لا تخلون بامرأة ولو كنت تعلمها القرآن. So what about those who stay alone, a man and woman, to study together, or going to have fun together, or to play, or to do whatever things from people might be doing in these days. Also, Sharia have decided that there's something called awra. There is part of your body need to be covered. And this awra is something unique, and it's something known in all religions. And in Islam, has a great deal about that, emphasizing where's the awra of the men. The man has awra as well, that he cannot uncover his private part in public or his thigh in public. He should cover that. Also in Salat, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw a man praying in public in the masjid, has nothing on his shoulder. He ordered him to put something on his shoulder. Also women, they have awra, they should not expose it. In front of women and in front of men, but it's different. So in front of other women, she's not allowed to show her thigh or her breast or a'udhu billah, her private parts, unless there is necessity for that, such as going to deliver a baby or going to the doctor. Also, Islam told women not to put perfume in public. Why is that? Because this will attract a lot of attention to her and might cause for some men to try to seduce her or approach her and not in a proper way. Al-Islam also ordered us to lower our gaze. Not only men and women as well. Not allowed to keep, oh, it's so windy today. Good. Also, Islam ordered us to lower our gaze. And that means that you don't keep looking to the woman or to her, to woman, and keep just staring at her. You should lower your gaze and move your face away, especially if something like this wind, you know, come and uncover her legs or something like that, you should turn your face away out of respect. Also, Al-Islam said, when your children, your own children, reach an age of 10, you should separate them in bed and not let them sleep together. There is more rules, inshallah, we'll talk about it in the next episode. So until then, I will see you, inshallah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Bum, 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 bum